Hi, Corrine. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Cherie?
Good, good, good. I'm excited to be here tonight. We've got a great show scheduled, and a great topic we're going to talk about. So, why don't you share with everybody what it is about?
Tonight we're going to be talking about psychometry, the phenomenon of psychometry, also known as psychic touch, and it's the ability to read an object's history or the history of those that may have owned or handled the object. A lot of psychic investigators use this this tool too as well to receive messages about people. And the messages can come through as like feelings, thoughts, visions, all of that. And so we're going to talk tonight about how to do this, how to use it, and we're going to share some stories about people that have use this to receive messages about loved ones, and psychometry can also be used when you're touching someone too. It doesn't have to necessarily be with an object, but you can actually receive messages when you're touching someone, and also when you're looking at a picture too. So that's all psychometry.
Well, that's good. So when you touch someone and they don't they feel a certain way, or you touch someone and you get a vibe from them, that's psychometry, right?
Right.
So
It's like the vibes and the visions that you get. Have you ever experienced that before, Terry, where you've like touched someone and all of a sudden you get like an impression or a vision of something that they just did? I know you've probably experienced that, right? Like you get it, you touch someone, all of a sudden you know, oh, they just came back from a ski trip or something like that. You've experienced that before, right?
Yeah, or they've, I've been around someone and their energy feels, I'll go, wow, I get a vibe that you've just done this, or did you just come here, or that, or did you just go there? Yeah, or that
Right.
kind of thing. Yeah. So have you, what's happened with you with it as well?
Well, I'm a lot of people out there probably experienced this too, but psychometry it really easily happens when you're not expecting it, like when you're walking through like an antique store. I was telling you the story about how this was years ago, but I've been in an antique store since then. When I used to walk through antique stores, there's a lot of older objects in there, obviously, because they're all antiques, and they've got a lot of history behind each of those objects. But I used to experience, as I was walking through an antique store, I would receive visions of the history of the people that own those objects. I would pick up like a, there's one time specifically where I was walking through and I saw on this table, there was a whole bunch of jewelry, and I can't remember what time period this was in, but there was a period of time, a couple of, I think probably maybe in the 1800s or something, where there was a period of time where a lot of jewelry used to be made from human hair. Did you know about that? It's kind of freaky.
No, wow.
I know. I was like, what is going on here? But there were like brooches and hairpins. There were even bracelets that were made out of human hair, and they were like woven together, like braided. It was kind of freaky. But I remember picking up one. I didn't realize at first it was human hair, but I picked it up, and I immediately saw the woman that owned it. And I saw
Wow.
that her. I know. I saw that her mother had given it to her when she was about like 15, and I saw her putting it into like a jewelry box and and wearing it and all that. And it freaked me out because I was thinking for a second, like, this is human hair. This is so creepy. I went home and I
Right.
researched it and I said, I'm like, what about this jewelry in it? And it actually was a very popular type of jewelry during that time period. But, anyways, that's psychometry, where you can pick up an object, any type of an object. A lot of times, it's like investigators use clothing of the person
Right.
that's missing or a picture. So it can be any type of object that's belonged to someone
That's
that
cool.
can be used.
So you can use it. So I'm sorry to mean to interrupt you, but one of the things that it sounds like, remember the movie The Sixth Sense? So that was like, you remember he could touch stuff, or and then or what was that? He no, it was actually he touched stuff or felt things, got visions of them, and they would actually come and talk to him. So a little bit like that too, as well for you. Yeah, I
Right,
remember that.
right.
So I know for myself, I've had similar experiences with touching antiques, never with human hair though. It sounds a little bit like curses
Oh,
that
it was
we
so creepy. I have to just admit, it was so creepy.
I don't believe in curses or anything like that, but Yeah, we have a lot of that down here in South Florida with certain cultures, you know what I mean? But hey, it works. Curses.
I mean, it was beautiful, but, you know, it's human hair that, you know, belongs yeah. to someone else. And, you know, that was just a horror thing.
Yeah, I gotcha. Hey, listen, so like investigators using it, what tell me about that. Like, you know, I know everybody, by the way, we're doing readings tonight, so if you have a story or you want to share something about your own, experience with psychometry, please call, or if you want to ask us a question. Karina and I talk to angels every day, and so we're excellent psychics. Right? And so we'd love to talk to you. So, but tell us about the psychic investigators. Share with us, you know, about that or what's going on
well,
there.
The reason why you can pick up messages from an object that belongs to someone else is because we put an imprint of our energy on everything that, you know, we touch. And a lot of times things that we wear often, you know, like a watch or your earrings or a shirt of yours, you know, there's an imprint of your energy that's on there. And, a lot of psychics can tap into that energy to receive the messages. So what psychic investigators do is they'll be given an object that belongs to the person or a picture, and they can tune into that energy and kind of see the history and almost do like, you know, it's almost like a remote viewing kind of experience that they use for, where they'll be able to kind of see the person, you know, where they were at before, you know, they went missing, and be able to kind of follow the energy path to see, you know, what could have possibly happened and who they interacted with, and people that they talked to and where they went. But you can use psychometry. It doesn't have to be with a person that's passed away, although you will be able to get some interesting information about the history of somebody. But you can use it for somebody that's still living today. You and I were talking about that earlier, and then the responsibility that needs to go with that. Do you want to talk about that? Because we don't want to.
yeah.
You can use it for.
Right. I mean, you and I teach a lot of different types of classes, and we have conference calls. But one of the things that we were chatting with and about is people when they want to know information about someone, and usually it's about a boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, a significant other. You have to, and whether it's our brother, sister, anyone, you have to really, really be very, very cautious, because when you want to touch an object, or when you want an object of theirs, or when you want to know information about them, psychometry, as long as you're, let me back up a little bit, as long as you're coming from the intention of, I'm going to say love, you know, because I think you're either coming from love or fear, and you're coming from love, and you want the best for yourself, for that person, for everybody around you, it's okay. But you also have to ask permission. That doesn't mean you call your boyfriend and say, listen, I'm touching your article of clothing because I want to know if you really like me, or, you know, or whatever. But it just means that you ask your higher self, his higher self, I think, if it's okay, that you really look at, you know, tap into to him or her, or, you know, family members or friends or whatever. What do you feel about that? What's your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. You have to come from a place that serves and blesses everybody's highest and best good. So it's not, you know, not to use it for like spying on somebody to see what is this guy or girl up to? What were they doing last weekend? You really are not to use it for that. It should come from an absolutely place of love and not from fear, for the only purpose of serving your soul's growth and knowledge through love.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
I can just imagine everybody out there. I so just want to know.
Yeah.
What were you doing with that woman?
Yeah, right? Exactly. You have to be careful. I had a friend of mine that I went to school with call me. She's actually from North Carolina. And so we were talking about it, and she's pretty intuitive. We, as I said, we went to school together. She goes, Tariq, I just want to touch his underwear, you know, and I go, just to make sure that he really likes me, I told her, I'm not going to even say her name on the air, but I said, don't do that. That some things are just better left to unfold as they're supposed to unfold. You know, she's a great gal. I told her she's been single way too long. You know what I mean? But yeah, see, I know it sounds sad, doesn't it? Funny, doesn't it? So you have to be careful with that. You also, I know that psychic investigators have found missing people with it as well, you know, too. And been able to locate people that have been kidnapped or, you know, like fallen off the side of the planet for whatever reason, you know, that they can do it by touching an article of clothing, which you were just talking about. So it's just kind of cool. And I know that a lot of times you're really good at this. So as I was going to ask you about this today, because it just popped in my head, you know how things pop in my head. You're like all organized, and I try to be organized. But one of the things that I want to know, and I'm sure everybody here would like to know, is tapping into energy. And you sometimes you don't even need to touch a person or an object, right? You can tap right into their energy. You do something and break it down really, really cool. When you are tapping into energy, because you feel things, that's how you really connect first. I know you hear, I know you see, but you feel things. So when you're tapping into someone's energy, like right before the call, we were chatting, and I go, Corinne, there's something happening around, and I told you the time. And I said, it has to do, I thought it was with business and you know, is that we're doing. And so, like, when you tap into something or tap into energy, can you explain how people can do that now? Like, if they want to, say, tap into their mom, their dad, their children, once again, first off is you have to ask permission, right? Okay. Second of all, come from love, not to dig in to find out things that really aren't your concern. You know what I mean? And so how do you, like, when you tap into energy, how do you do that? You know, how do you do that? Because you say, well, this feels new, this feels old, this feels like that they're you know, whatever, like they're here, or that they're coming in, or that they're calling, or they're not calling. How do you do that? How's the energy feel? How do you tap into that? Because I know there are people out here that would love to know how to do that.
Sure, and this is also, you know, you can use it just practicing to tune into people, or if you're practicing psychometry. The way that I do it is I tune into myself first, because you have to know how your own energy feels like before you can distinguish another type of energy. Otherwise, you're going to think it's all you or all someone else, and you'll get them mixed together. So what I do first is, and you can do the same with psychometry, if you're holding an object or if you're just sitting quietly and you're trying to tune into someone else, I first focus on how I feel. And I feel like, and you're really great at teaching people how to do this too, is you feel how your clothes feel like, you feel how your emotions feel like, you feel what your thoughts feel like. And then once you've got, you know, yourself figured out, then you can start tapping into someone else's energy, and it will feel very different to you. Because once you're centered in yourself, that's within you. And then the feelings that you're getting from either the object or from someone else's energy will be like external. So you're almost like observing it. And you'll experience them. The way that I experience them is actually as if I'm actually really feeling them, but I'm very aware that they're not my own feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just kind of like on the surface, not within me. But I can still feel it. I'll still feel whatever it is that the person is feeling at that particular moment. But the key to that is, first of all, feeling how you feel and being in tune and grounded with that. And then start to, you know, take a couple of deep breaths, you meditate, and then, you know, and then just kind of just allow your mind to kind of go blank, and then all of the messages that you'll receive from the object or from the person will start to come in, and they'll start to come in really fast. And you might think at first, okay, this is kind of crazy, you know, but it's not crazy, and you'll see that it starts to make sense. And then once you start tapping into it, you almost kind of what feels like for me is like I almost get sucked right into like some kind of like a wormhole, like I'm in the person's energy. And it feels very different from mine, but I'm like absorbed by it. I'm almost like in the middle of the movie, almost.
Wow.
And yeah, and then you can ask, like, once you're in tune with that energy, you can almost ask questions, like what we were talking about in a couple shows ago. We were talking about astral traveling, right? Or
right.
In the dream state, where you're aware, you can actually ask questions. I'll ask the person that I'm tuning into, their energy. I'm actually asking their higher self or their energy, you know, what does this mean? Or, okay, you're feeling this way. Why are you feeling this way? Or, you know, why are you doing this? Yeah, so it's kind of fun. But, of course, the key is, at first, is to be in tune with your own emotions. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to tell the difference. You'll be like,
there you
I'm
go.
Going here, I'm going there. I'm feeling this, I'm feeling that.
Right, right. Can you imagine get it all mixed up? So if somebody were listening, or I'm sure they're listening, and they want to tap into their lover or a family member or friend, for instance, or husband or wife or whatever. So the first thing they do is need to know how they feel right at that moment and really be in control of your emotions. You know what I mean? So it's better to be in a peaceful state. So how do you get in a peaceful state? Deep breaths in, you know, and I get that. And that's what I do, and I know you and I talk about that. And then once you do that, concentrate how you feel, your clothes feel, how your body feels, you know, go through each part. And then once you're sure of your own energy, what you feel like, and you're like, well, I don't know what I feel like. I've never felt me. You feel yourself every day, right? You know what I mean? You know what you feel like every day. So you get real clear about what you feel like in a peaceful state or an easygoing, a laid-back state, and then you can go into that person's energy. You have to ask permission. So, like today, you were talking to me. We were chatting about a mutual friend of ours, and it, you know, he felt like he needed validation about certain things that were going on in his life. So he was connecting with you and I to do that. Correct? You know what I mean? Because we're his only sounding board, and he's a client of Corrine and I's. So to those who are listening, hope he's not listening. Would that be funny? I'm just kidding. I don't think he knows about.
He's like, hey, that's me.
Yeah, what are you guys talking about me for? No, anyway, it's a great person. So just to let you know, but he said, so we were feeling his energy, and he felt like he was a one-man show, and he was just you. He needed validation for certain things, and when you were doing it, I go, well, is it this or this? How do you feel? And you go, I feel this. What do you feel? So we go back and forth with that, which is really, really cool. If you're starting out, though, one of the things that I think that would help you is see what you get, like words you get. You know, sometimes you'll get images or visions. Don't you get, I mean, I'll get words, I'll get clairvoyant visions, I'll get, and I'll ask for it. Tell me how they feel. And if you ask for a word, we were talking about that the other day, or when you're touching an object and you're tapping into this person, ask your angels, your higher self, your energy to show you a word that feels like them. Or if you're doing what Corrine and I are talking about without using touch, but using thoughts or connecting with their energy, ask for a word, you know, because I remember with this particular person, he is studying everything around him, and you picked that up too as well a few days ago, and we had talked about that. And so if somebody's touching an object or whatever, and they want to know something about that person, then just see what you feel, what the first word is. Sometimes words are easier than emotions, right? So instead of feeling joyful or sad or, you know, or curious, I think we were doing something the other day, we were tapping in, and the first word we felt was he was curious or she was curious. I can't remember who we were talking about, but, you know, and so asking for a word is easier than asking sometimes than to feel the emotion. Why do you think that is?
Your emotions can create blocks because you're emotionally invested in the person, and a lot of times that can kind of clog the clarity. So when you separate your emotion from it, the messages may be a lot clearer because you're not putting your own stuff in it. An example would be a lot of times I use psychometry to kind of tune into my parents. You know, I can tune into them without using a picture, but sometimes I kind of play with it, and just for fun I'll pick up a picture of my parents, because I can pick up the phone and call them, obviously, but I wanted to get a little bit more information about where they were coming from deep within their heart and what they were going through. And so I picked up a picture, and then, you know, because everyone's emotionally invested in their parents one way or another, right? I had to look at this picture, and then I tuned into what my own personal emotions were with my parents, and then I had to set it aside. I literally just took, I put it, I wrapped it up in like a little visual ball, and then I set it aside to make sure in my mind, yeah, but it would not clog the messages that I was receiving. And then I just let my mind go blank while I was holding onto this picture. And I asked, just like what you were saying, I asked for the messages to come through as words. I didn't want any emotions involved because I thought that it would be difficult for me to determine whether or not those were my own emotions or the true emotions of what my parents were feeling. So I asked that they come through as words. And I got some pretty unique words that I wouldn't have ever, you know, imagined of what they were going through. It was a lot of like, I just can't remember the words right now, but it's along the lines of what you're saying. Absolutely. When they come through as words, you'll trust them a lot better. You're able to trust them because they're not your own emotions that you're familiar with. So absolutely, it's a great tool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, words are, yeah, I agree with you about that. Words are much better to use. I know that yesterday, was it yesterday, the day before, we were chatting about a mutual friend of ours, and I go, this is what I get. And I go, jealousy, no, it's envy. And I go, what's the difference between envy and jealousy? And you're like, Tree, it means, you know, so we're getting real clear on that. So when you can practice with someone too, it's always good. You know, both of you guys, yeah, you know. Karina and I were actually doing, for you guys that are listening, we were actually doing a reading with someone, and that's the, you know, we were getting what the emotions or getting the words that we thought we saw. Karina, we've got Sharon from Georgia. So she's going to come on. So hi, Sharon.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you? Both of you.
Good, huh? Oh, thank you.
We've talked to you before, right?
Yes, you have.
Okay.
Did you call us to invite us to the wedding?
Y'all are going to be coming to my wedding.
Remember,
we
love wedding cake.
Do what?
Go ahead. I said, we love wedding cake, and we give great presents. And Michael's coming to our guest on from last week. He says,
yep, I'm going to expect all three of y'all to show up.
There you go. What's your question?
I wanted to ask y'all something. I've been trying really hard for 11 years now to make contact with my guides, my angels, spirit in general. And I meditate. I've tried everything. I've gone to healers, and it's just not happening.
Oh,
so
wow.
I'm wanting to know if y'all could give any advice or let me know what's going on or what.
Well, funny you mentioned that, because Corrine and I have got a little plan we were just talking about. I think it's made for Sharon there. Now I'm teasing you, Sharon, a little bit, but not really. Corrine, why don't you tell her what we're doing? Because we put something together, I think, specifically for you or people like you, Sharon, and we were really glad to do this. So share with her what we're doing, because I know we spoke about it earlier.
Yeah, we're going to be putting together, I think it's going to be, the first one's going to be the first week of July, I think July 6th, we're going to be offering two free angel readings for people that participate in this conference call. And it'll help you to tune into your angels, and we'll give you the tools to be able to do that. You can participate in some classes that we have coming up as well. That will help you tune in, receive your own messages, talk to your angels, and all that good stuff. Did I miss anything, Tree?
Yeah, no, you didn't, except one thing. Sharon, Corrine just taught an angel card class on, I think, Sunday, and I was out kayaking. She was teaching. That's so sad. Anyway, she's amazing with it. And I just talked to, you know, we do a lot of mutual readings, and we work together on classes and everything, because we started Angel Coaches. But I got off the phone with one of our clients, and she said that, she goes, Tree, that class has really helped me tap into my angels, tap into my own ability. And she goes, they are so powerful. And she goes, with that, the way she taught us to read using, and I think it was Dorian Virtue's angel cards. And she goes, it's amazing. It's given me freedom. Now, Sharon, I'm going to recommend that you really go to get on our conference call, because it sounds like you've got a lot of intuitive ability. Just, you know, and this is, once again, psychometry, just a couple blocks that would be really easy for you to let go. And then you could have conversations with your angels. And then Corrine and I can call you for reading, right, Corrine? So it'd be fun. So, yeah.
Okay.
All right, but if you go to angelcoaches.com, we're going to put all the information up there, and then you've got testimonies about her class and also classes that we're doing together, and some that I'm doing. But she, you just really recently read some of the testimonies from Corrine's Angel Card class, which was just on Sunday. So it was really.
So you're suggesting I do both the Angel Card reading class and then this thing that y'all are going to be.
Yeah, I do. But, you know, the Angel Card class, and then I would do both. It's important for you to connect with your guides and your angels, right? That's what you really want to have guidance. You know what? You've got some things here that will really help you do that. And when you totally immerse yourself, you know, into learning and getting the information and practicing, let me tell you, it's just a matter of time before it comes to you. So you've got some, and we've got a great group of people that we work with that are just like you tapping in. Some of them have tapped in, but you know, the best part about it is you can look a step ahead and see someone who's just stepped ahead, or you can look behind you and see people that are, you know, right behind you. But the best part about it is that we all got the same common goal, and that's to develop our spirituality and our relationship with our angels and guides. Right, Corrine?
Right.
So. Yeah, but her class is a great one because she's very detailed and very thorough, you know, so you'll like it. But go to angelcoaches.com, and I know Corrine, I'm much better at talking than I am doing the wizardry computer stuff. She's very good at that, so she's getting it all, you know. I'll say, Corrine, let's do this. She goes, okay, and then it'll take me forever to do it. She'll get it up in a matter of hours, and, you know, and she's also very talented, too, with the psychic stuff and the angels. So we'd love to have you, okay? And we got some good stuff going on for you.
Okay,
for people.
Great.
All right, remember, we're invited to the wedding, okay? Wedding cake,
yes,
presents. All right, cool. Take care, Sharon. Have a good night.
You too. Good night. Bye-bye.
Oh, see, now that's good. So, you know, people like her, people like us, you know what I mean? And now it's just so easy for, you know, to learn how to become more in touch with energy and angels and all that, don't you think? With some of the stuff that we're doing.
That was very synchronistic because we were just talking about it. And I think, you know, it's great to be able to help people to tune into their angels. And that seems to be a common question. Everyone's like, how can I tune into my angels? How can I talk to them? How do I know if they're around me, you know? Because I'm not hearing anything. And just asking to connect with them is all that you need to do. I mean, because they're always around you. And the angel cards are a great way to tune into them. You know, and they speak to you through the cards. They're speaking to you all the time, actually.
That is very
really helps. Yeah. The cards really
that's
help
very true.
To get a literal, you know, translation of what they're saying. So it's great.
You know, psychic touch, psychometry, working with the angels, and that's something else. A lot of people go, I don't know what I don't know how to talk to them. You know, like she's like figuring out how to connect with them. And intention is the biggest thing. So once you have the intention, that's the most important. The other thing is, and this goes with psychometry, as you know, or psychometry, energy, all the things that we do, you know, as people like we are. A lot of times the angels will connect with you through thoughts and feelings. So, you know, a lot of times people go, I feel something different. It felt wonderful. I smelled roses, you know, or I felt the energy just felt really warm and light. And a lot of times your angels and your guides will connect like that, don't you think? Have you ever experienced that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think most people don't realize that it's actually messages from their angels. That, you know, it's intuition. It's the same thing. Your angels are speaking through you, through your feelings, through your intuition. But people usually, you know, they kind of overlook it. They're like, oh, that's just my own head. It's just my own stuff in my own head. But a lot of times it's not. A lot of times it's not. I mean, almost 100% of the time it's not.
Right.
Nudging you. Yeah, giving you that impression. So.
That's very true, and the one thing I like about it is they'll give you thoughts and they'll give you feelings. I'll never forget. I was really stressed one time. It was a few years ago, and I had to meet a goal, and I'm super competitive, which has been my downfall sometimes. I know you and I were talking about that, and sometimes it's really helped me. And I go, I'm not going to be able to make it. I'm not going to be able to make it. And all of a sudden, I felt this like amazing. I heard an angel say, and I saw it say, "You're going to make it. Don't worry." And then I felt this more like love wash over me. I can't explain it. it, but it was like the total energy of love, not the emotion, but the energy, because it was very clear, very clean. I was like, oh, wow, what a gift, you know. And did I stop worrying? For that moment in time, I did, but, you know, as most of us as human beings, started worrying again a little bit later. How funny is that, you know? Anyway, I know. You ever done that? So,
no,
anyway.
All the time.
Yeah. You and I are calling each other, Kareen, Tari, what is this, you know, but we get there. That's it, you know. I think we've got Willie from Fort Lauderdale. Okay. Hi, Willie.
Willie.
Hello. I hope he's here. Willie, are you there? Okay. Well, maybe not. Anyway.
I'm here.
Oh,
Willie, better late than never. Hi, what's up? How are you?
You guys can hear me now? Oh, good.
Yeah, we can hear you now. Remember that commercial in the cornfield? Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Try out the new phone. anyhow, listen, I have a question for you. When you ladies do psychometry and you touch an object or whatever, do you prefer to use one hand? One hand or the other, your strong hand, or does it matter to you when you do it?
It depends on what object I'm touching. I'm just kidding. Anyway.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I couldn't resist. Anyway, that's a good question, by the way, Willie. Kareen, why don't you answer that? Because we talked about that before on our conference call.
The left hand is known as the hand that receives energy, and your right hand is the hand that sends energy. And that's generally, you know, what it is. A lot of times, though, people are, you know, are left-handed or they're right-handed, and they don't know which hand is the stronger hand. Most of the time, you know, you can test it out and see, but usually it's the left hand that will receive the energy, so that's the hand that you should hold the object in. If you're still not sure and that's not feeling right to you, what you can do is, you know, rub your hands together as if you're doing like a prayer, and then separate your hands and kind of see which hand feels stronger. You'll be able to kind of feel the energy between the two hands, and one hand will kind of push against the other. You'll feel energy coming out of one hand more than the other. That's your dominant hand. And that's the hand that sends energy. So you should hold the object in the non-dominant hand, the weaker, or should we say the weaker hand. That's the hand that receives energy. So sometimes for left-handed people, that's the stronger hand. So they'll hold objects in the right hand or vice versa.
Yeah,
and I tell you something, Willie. One of the things that I know about it is the left is the feminine, it's receiving, and the right is the dominant or the male energy in all of us. So, you know, hey, have you got a story about psychometry? Anything you touched you felt energy? Okay.
Actually, I do. I had an incident in church just about a week ago, and at the end of church, we all hold hands and we sing a song. And Elder, I held this guy's hand. In the palm of my hand, it got really, really, really hot. So I thought, okay, well, this is just because I do Reiki. But then all of a sudden, this word came up about, there was a question to ask the guy, you know, tell him that he was a healer, that he should be in the medical field. So we stopped singing the song, and I asked him, hey, listen, are you by any chance in the medical field? Well, he almost cried. He got, you know, choked up a little bit. And he said, you just confirmed something for me. He says, I wasn't sure if this is where I was supposed to be. He just finished a class on Friday, 2 days before, to be a medical assistant. And later on, he's going to go further in the medical field. And he gave me a big hug, and he said, you just confirmed, you know. He goes, how'd you know? And I said, well, you're a healer, and I felt the warmth in your hand. And I was just told to ask you that. But it was really strong. And we've been getting a lot more of that lately. So that was one of the things that happened.
Hey, I have
you're going to go around holding everybody's hand.
That's good. He likes women with a lot of talent, Kareen, right, Willie?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Talented and smart.
Talented and smart. Anyway, that's his code word for a lot of different things there. But I know that you're super, super psychic, and you're a police retired police detective. And for a lot of people that are single and that are learning to trust their intuition and their feelings, because I know that you use it a lot in your line of work. But what is one of the things that if you're single and you're dating, you're just starting back in the dating scene, because I know it's only you were married for a long time and then you started dating again. What are some things that you would share with people or guy or women and men about dating and trusting your vibe and listening to your gut feelings, psychometry, but you know, just feeling someone's energy. Cause I know you had a lot of experience with that.
Yeah. Well, like you said, psychometry is one. The other one is I just really, really am big on angels, and everybody's got angels and guides, and I think you need to contact them and just trust that, that whatever messages you're getting. Like for me, when it first started happening, I thought, okay, I'm just thinking things because it always comes in my own voice or whatever. But as time went on, I learned to trust it more. I think the most important key is working on yourself. And when I say working on yourself, taking time out to take care of yourself, and something else we talked about before, fall in love with yourself. I think we spend so much time looking for the right person. Tree and I talked about this before, where and this happens a lot more because I'm around men. I worked in fields as a police officer in the military with men, and a lot of men talk about wanting a 10. And I always say, listen, if you're a 3, you're going to have a hard time chasing a 10.
That's nice.
You know, the guy's saying, you know, I want her, you know, she's got to be 36, 24, 36, this height, this blah, blah, blah. And I think it's a lot more easier to attract that if you're also closer to a 10, whether it be physical, spiritual, or in all those different ways. And what I've found is, you know, after going through a divorce that, you know, at the time I didn't want, but now I'm kind of glad. But healing things in myself, what has happened is it's opened the doors. The more I worked on myself, the more I'm attracting a lot more people. So I know I'm getting closer to maybe meeting the right person when I'm ready. So
I always help you, though, with that one. I tell you to find the matronly ones that'll take care of you. So, anyway.
Oh, yes. Matronly is code for unattractive. Sorry.
That's a bit harsh, but okay. Anyway, beauty's in the eye of the beholder, Willie.
Yes.
Kareem, one of the things that Willie's done, though, is when he goes out and he meets, and he's a big social butterfly, that's what we joke about, but when he goes out, one of the things that I do know about him is he's got, and you've improved with this, just learning your own energy, working on yourself, one of the things that he does now is, like, you'll feel a woman, you know, with her energy and go, okay, this feels right or this doesn't, because there's been times that you've walked away from a situation where you could have
learned to trust what I'm feeling, and like Green, my talent or whatever, my ability comes through feeling first, so it's like a gut feeling or whatever, so when I get that, it catches my attention, and if it's disruptive or whatever, because now I know my own energy. And then I know, okay, I walk away, I come back, I feel the same thing. If it's disruptive, then I know there's something going on with this person. Sometimes I even get a feeling of I need to get away from this person. So,
wow.
And then there's some people, that make you they kind of draw you in. Where and I had a this morning we were talking. I did something with my son. I told you about that. Where I don't know what just made me do it, but I put my hand above his arms and his shoulders, and I said, "What's this I'm feeling?" And it really stood out, and I guess it was his auric field or whatever, and I could feel it, but he felt very calm, very comfortable, whatever. So I started asking him questions, and he said, yeah, you're right on the money. You know, I was saying, like, well, you're calm, you're this, or, but I could feel it. So
oh, that's
I was
neat.
Kind of like practicing.
Yes, that's because he's going out Saturday night to meet women, right, Willie? So anyway, that's a whole nother story. All right, my dear friend. Listen, who's your favorite angel that you work with?
Archangel Michael, and he shows up a lot.
Oh, that's nice. Corrine, do you have any questions you want to ask him?
Archangel Michael or Willie? Because I got to go for Archangel Michael. No.
You have any questions you want to ask
me? I want to ask him why he didn't help me fix my Skype today is what I wanted to know. That's a question on my mind for Michael. No, Willie, you're good. It's always fun talking to you.
You
I
too.
Have no questions for Willie.
Okay. Archangel Willie. Okay.
Yeah. All right, well, yeah, Archangel Willie, I love that. Imagine him sitting out there with a group of angels, all the archangels, and there's Willie winking at everybody, so that'd be good. Thanks, Willie. We'll catch you later, okay?
All right.
He's
thank you.
Wonderful.
Okay.
I love it.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, Corrine, you know, one of the things that he was real clear about, and I, you know, I've known Willie for some time, and I'm glad he called in tonight because he's got some great experiences, and I knew the one with the you know, where he felt the gentleman's energy there. But, you know, Willie and I were chatting about something. That, no, was it? It was you. I'm so sorry. We were talking about, you know, I've been in, I don't go to graveyards because I feel the energy and the things in there. I mean, people, I don't go to graveyards. Yeah, you know, it sounds so bad. But I'll never forget that I had an experience when I was really young. But a friend of mine, he goes, Tree, let's go over to, you know, go, you know, walk. And we walk past a church in a graveyard. And I'll never forget. Because a lot of times you're like, well, you're just thinking that because it's what you think. And I go, no, you can feel the energy. And sometimes those are the most disruptive places. And not that it's a bad a good thing, but the energy there can be a little bit weird, don't you think? You know, in those places like that, so you gotta, and hospitals too. You can also practice psychometry. I'm not suggesting graveyards, but that's where you can you imagine? That's where you can feel a lot of energy and really get distinct about your own energy, how it feels compared to that. Sometimes you need such a, and if it starts, oh, this feels like my energy, you got a problem, right? If you're walking into a graveyard, can you imagine? Oh, what's up here? Time to check
out. You're visiting your own past lives or something like that.
Yeah, right? Or going into a hospital and you can feel, you can, a lot of times you can be, get really clear on your, what your energy feels like and feeling other people's energy. But you and I were talking for the past few weeks. We've been feeling an energy around us, and I wanted to share with people that are listening, Corrine and I, you know, you never die, you go to another place, but there's been an energy around both of us. She's felt it, I've seen it, felt it, she's seen it. We just, you know, we do what we do. And so, is it okay if I, because you and I will talk about this, and we're just going to put it out there and see what people...
Yeah.
Feel. Okay.
Yeah, because you know we've been feeling this, so it must, you know, I think we're meant to share it, and I think it'll resonate with somebody out there. It's a message that I think that needs to be shared. So,
sure.
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay, good. So here's the message. Corrine and I, there is a woman that has been around us, you know, on our shows, and, you know, Corrine and I do a lot of meditation together, and connect and, you know, talk about metaphysical things and prepare for the shows and the classes. So we were talking about the show, the radio show here. And so you guys that are listening in, if this relates to you, it'll resonate with you. You'll know. We feel a young woman that died probably in her 20s, you know, and she's what, maybe anywhere between 20, we're going to 24 to 29. You felt she, and she died in, I think, in a car accident. And Corrine, what was the, you felt that she was a, share the information that you got as well, because we got the same information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's like a, there's some type of, she was with somebody that, you know, or the time that she died, she wasn't with him, but she's connected to him. A man that she either met in school, in college or high school. There's a school connection that's there. or they met in school, they've been together since school, something like that before she passed away. I also feel that there's a, her name is spelled in a unique way, right, Jerry? It was like a Y or a K or something like that. It was unique.
It was different. Yeah, it was
different
unique.
Different type of a name. Different spelling or something like that, right?
Yeah, exactly. It, you know, and like I said, the unique name doesn't mean it has to be the first. You'll know the first, whoever this is, you'll know first, middle, or last. The other thing that the it feels like the person that she was connected to, it's been probably 20 or more than 20 years ago. He's in his 40s, early to mid 40s, and I think he lives in the Midwest, and his name starts with what did we say it started with?
An S,
yeah. So if that relates to you and you don't want to talk to us on the call or call in and ask a question, then, you know, go to angelcoaches.com because she wants you to know she's fine, she's safe, and you don't have to call us, but if you want to, you can, or go to Angel Coaches, and she's fine, she's safe, and she wants you to know that you need to let her go and find love again. I think that's what. Did you have any other messages with that, or you want to share with that? So
yes, and I think she's the message is just for healing, and to let her go, and to be able to love again, and trust and love, because she's in a good place, and wants to give you her love as well, so that you can move forward and love wholly and completely in the way that you shared your love with her. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah, so as I said, that's a message, and you know who you are. And if you want to talk about it, you can go to Angel Coaches, or if not, that message is for you. So, but I felt led to really share that because Sheena and Karina both did, because it's been happening now for a few weeks. So, anyway,
it feels good now that we've shared it. So, okay.
Yeah, right. I was like glad to do that.
I know. Now we can tell her. You know. We did it.
Yeah. She's saying, I know. So that's a good thing. That's cool. So we got a lot of good stuff. A lot of times Karina and I will get messages like that for people. And it's the first time we've ever shared anything like that on the call. So I hope that is okay and feels right. Because, you know, to be extremely metaphysical and working in this in the metaphysical world, sometimes you're like, okay, but if they're listening to the show, they're going to understand anyway, right? You know, so that's okay too as well.
Right. Mm-hmm. And we thought that we needed to share because the message just kept coming through to the both of us. And, we didn't look at it for a long time until it kept showing up, and we said, okay, all right, then we need to do something with this information because it showed up for the both of us. So now we shared it, so.
Now we can move on, you know, so, yeah.
That's good.
So, yeah.
And it's tied in line with what we're saying. What the show is about, so it was a good show to do it on. I get messages like that, too, you know, in the antique stores the most, because a lot of those items are so old that, and you, Tree, as a medium, you tap into it. But this woman shared her message with us. When we were totally talking about something else, she just popped in. So,
but that's part of it. And, we get talking about people that have transferred over. You can feel them, I was talking to someone today and she's so neat. I'll share this story with you. She said she'd lost her husband and she said, this is a great story. She goes, I was in the shower and she said, I heard a voice and she goes, I think it was my guardian angel said, I can heal him. Or you can keep him. And she said, oh, beautiful story. She said, he'd been so sick for so long, and he was so ready to go. She goes, do what he wants to do, what's best for him, not for me. Anyway, so a couple days later, she goes, she goes, I know I'm going to see him again. And she goes, I feel him all around the house. And she said, does he change the channels on the TV? And I was like, I guess so, because, you know, the first 14 days that you transfer out of here, you know, you may not be here physically, but your body might not be here, but your mind, your soul can travel back and forth. So, you know, a lot of times they'll let us know that they're here. We're playing with our energy or playing with the lights, light, you know, going lights going on and off and that kind of thing. So that's another way. Psychometry a little bit works there too as well. Have you got any other stories you want to share with people? Because we're going to tie it up in just a few minutes. So.
No, it's just about asking for permission. I'll tell you a funny story about that. You know, before you tune into someone, or, you know, using psychometry to tune into someone that is still living, there was one time where my sister was asking me about my other sister. I think I might have shared this with you. She asked me, can you tune into our other sister and just find out when she's going to get married? They're trying to play matchmakers, and my sister's all invested in this. And I said, you know what, let me just try. And I asked my other sister's higher self, can I tune into this to give our sister this information? I got a strong no, and I was blocked out of
wow.
energy.
She
immediately put up a wall, and I told my other sister, I said, I'm not getting anything. I'm not allowed to look at that, and it's better that we don't even know about that. That's the message that I'm getting, is that we are not to look at that information. It's none of our business. She has a task. Her own life path that she needs to take. So sometimes it'll come through as that. So if you're trying to touch, you know, your man's underwear, like what you were saying, and see what he's doing, you may just get a no.
Yeah.
You may just get a no.
I know. That's no fun, is it? No, I hate no's, but it's for the best.
It is for the best.
You know, as parents, because I'm a mom and my daughter is 18, going on 30. She thinks she's my mother sometimes. We have a great relationship, actually. And and I know there are parents that are listening out there, but a lot of times we get a vibe about our kids. You know, I know, like, you get them about your sisters and your family. And I'll never forget, I was looking for my daughter because she'd ridden off on her bike and it was getting dark. And I was riding around and looking for her, because you know how kids will push the envelope and want to stay out later than they're supposed to. And she was supposed to be home. Right. Of course, they have, you know. And all of a sudden, I felt her energy, and it literally went by my face. And because I was driving in my car, you know. And she's at home. And when I went home, you know, she had this great excuse why she was late. It was as good as my excuses when I was 16. The car broke down and I ran out of gas, you know. But anyway, we get a lot of times we'll get a feeling, you know, which is really, really incredible. I know that in the past with my daughter, I've felt like when she's been in trouble, and that's something that, you know how your energy feels, and all of a sudden you get a nudge about your kid or your son or daughter. And I know that one time my daughter, she was out with a friend of hers, and this was when she was 16, and she's 18, going to be 19 actually next month. But I was in the middle of a spin class, and I go, I got to get home. And so I stopped spinning, left the class, and when I got home, she was in some trouble. She was, you know, and she's a good kid, so it wasn't that she was a bad kid, but, you know, we challenge our parents and challenge the rules a lot of times. And I said, thank you for letting me get home, because, you know what, I stopped the situation by just being her parent and listening to my gut feeling, you know, than I would have ever done if I hadn't been listening to that, you know. So a lot of times you can get those feelings, that energy that you can tap into when you just listen, you know what I mean, and it'll feel different. But you know how it feels when your kids are up to something. A lot of times we'll know as parents, so that is
right.
That psychology there. Yeah, that doesn't feel right. I need to check it out. My father used to do it all the time with me. I always said he's super psychic. He doesn't call it that, you know what I mean? So, anyway, when I was a kid, I was living at home with him, and I came home, and I was really, really drinking, okay? And my father had moved the bookcase out, and I ran into it, okay, and just knocked me out just about. My father comes out, you know, how'd you know? He goes, are you drinking? I go, just a little bit. He goes, how many have you had? One, and then after another, and I was dying laughing. He goes, you're not going to think that's funny tomorrow because you're grounded. And I was, but I go, and they ask him later, go, how did you know to put the bookcase out there like that? So I'd run into it. He goes, T? He goes, I just knew. I was like, yeah, okay, just tapping into my internet, right? So anyway, we've got about another minute left. We've got, as I said, Corrine and I were putting together a call where you can, it's a free call, and where you can tap in. A lot of times you can't get into our call tonight, you know, or don't have time to, you know, call in. We're going to put a call in the first week of July. It's July 6th, is that right? And and learn about your angels. Ask two free questions, and then we have an angel card class that Corrine teaches, and some other things going on. So, to get more information about the call, the class, go to angelcoaches.com. And so that's what I had to say. So I'm going to say goodnight, Corrine. You want to say goodnight too? You say goodnight. I'll say goodnight.
Goodnight. Goodnight,
everybody.
Goodnight, everyone.